You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. This year marks the 50th anniversary of Broadside Press. It was founded by African-American poet and publisher Dudley Randall. The groundbreaking company published a long, distinguished list of African-American poets and writers. As we continue our series, Poetically Speaking, let's explore Dudley Randall and what the Broadside Press means to African-American literature. Chris Rutherford is the chairman of the board of directors of what was the Broadside Press, but is now the Broadside Lotus Press, which we'll be talking about in a moment. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we welcome Detroit-based poet, educator, and activist Aurora Harris. She's also an English lecturer at the University of Michigan Dearborn. Good to have you with us, Aurora.
Thank you for having me.
Chris, tell us about Dudley Randall.
Well, Dudley Randall was a Detroiter who had lived in Detroit for a very long time and was a writer and a poet within the community and had begun to come together with several of his friends with the idea of providing poetry, easily accessible African-American poetry, to the general population. It was something at that time African-American poets and writers weren't exactly accepted by the mainstream publishers in America. And there was such a depth and a breadth of poets in the city. And Dudley felt that there should be some way to make this easily accessible, not just in academic circles or literary circles, but to the average citizen.
And that's the key, isn't it, Aurora? Not just academic circles, because that's that academic bubble, but getting poetry into the hands of people everywhere.
Right. And one of the things that Broadside Press was recognized for in terms of accessibility was placing the poems on a broadside, which is like an 8.5 by 11 sheet or piece of cardboard paper that could be easily sold, carried, delivered, you know, that type of thing. And it was inexpensive. You know, a lot of the writing from 1965 was going very, very cheaply, like $1.50, $2.50, something like that.
What were they writing about in 65?
They were writing about Black life or African American life. The struggles, mostly the struggles, because at the time that Dudley published this, it's 1965. So this is right at the beginning of Black Power movement and the Black Arts movement in the United States. And they wrote about their daily lives. They wrote about their struggles. They wrote about family. They wrote about love. They wrote about police brutality. Poverty, problems with education, discrimination, those types of things.
And it's actually, it's kind of gobsmacking to realize that this took until 1965 to have a company like this devoted to Black writers and Black poets.
Absolutely. And it was one of the things, it was a culminating moment, I guess, in Black literature. As we all know, there had long been people such as Langston Hughes. You can go back and name names of great writers in literature. But to have this access and of the times, the events that took place, Detroit was an up-and-coming city. We had Motown getting started. And so it was the arts community that Dudley felt that needed to be able to kind of speak about these challenges that are faced, that have been faced in the African-American community and in America in general throughout the years. And so his first major poem was Ballads of Birmingham, which is now a world-renowned poem, but it spoke to the bombing of the little girls in Birmingham, Alabama. And that poem really gave Dudley a lot of traction nationally and was kind of the beginning of Broadside Press.
We're talking about poetry, and I think it's time to turn to you, Aurora Harris, as a poet. Would you share one of your poems with us? Tell us a little about it before you read it.
Okay, sure. I'll be reading from my book, Solitude of Five Black Moons, and the poem that I will be reading is called At 5:20 A.M. This poem was inspired by one of our Broadside Press retreats that we had in Idlewild, Michigan. The deepest ultramarine blue nightfall blankets and fades across the land stillness and hush of light rain. From the echoes of cities to trails of wild fern, the world's madness is rocked asleep in the arms of peace while dawn's hazy light raises pheasant and geese. She illuminates mushrooms scattered gold, white, and pink, open like fans and paper umbrellas.
That is Aurora Harris reading from her book of poetry. When did you discover poetry, Aurora?
When I was 7.
You remember immediately.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, I'm part Filipino and African American, and on a trip to the Philippines in 1967, we had a stopover in Japan. And my mother took my sister, brother, and I shopping, and my mother loved poetry. And she spoke fluent Japanese due to the invasion, World War II. And so we were in the store, and she bought a book of poems. And so when we were in the hotel, she taught me how to write American-style haiku, not Japanese haiku the way the Japanese mm-hmm. write it. And so that's when I wrote my first poem called Tokyo 1967.
Your first poem?
Yes, and it was a series of 3 haiku that spoke to our experience traveling in Tokyo, but also the fact that the way that people looked at us because we were biracial mm-hmm. And the discrimination and the staring and things that we would experience when we were here in Detroit on the buses. I noticed that people didn't stare at us when we traveled. Tokyo 1967. Gray eyes cried cool rains upon the Tokyo Hilton and Ginza's bright face. 2 silkworms named Yen and Dollar spun soft red silk kimonos for us. Not surprised by white woman with 3 dark children, no one stares at us.
That was Aurora Harris reading her first ever poem, Tokyo 1967. Also with us is Chris Rutherford, and we're marking the 50th anniversary of the Broadside Press. You're involved in a very ambitious effort to digitize this huge collection of poetry. So we're talking about a lot of work. What's it going to take to make that happen?
It's going to take a lot of legwork. Hopefully some resources from some very prominent institutions that hold some of this collection. But nevertheless, the Knight Foundation has been very generous in allowing us to take on this project. And so initially what we have to do is to pull together as much of his collections as we can. We don't at Broadside have all of his work in our possession, but there's University of Massachusetts Amherst as well as the University of Michigan here in Ann Arbor. They do have large bodies of his work mm-hmm. that have been donated to them many years ago, very smartly, I believe, by our previous caretakers of the press. And so we're going to have to assemble that work somehow and begin the arduous task of setting up cameras and going through them and actually photographing page by page and going through and digitizing the work and making it available over the internet.
This will not be an overnight project.
No,
not at all. But it really
not.
Does continue what the whole mission was, wasn't it? What Dudley Randall wanted, make it easily available, get it into
yes.
people's hands. I mean, people will be able to pull it up on their smartphones anywhere and read.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The other thing happening because of this in this 50th anniversary year is a name change.
Yes, we're very fortunate. We have 2 of the great literary icons in this country happen to be from Detroit, and that's Dr. Naomi Long Maggett, who was the owner of Lotus Press. Lotus Press is the 3rd oldest African American owned publisher of African American poetry, and she and Dudley were great friends and often published together and read together early on. And she is 92 years old. And has finally decided that she no longer will be able to fulfill her duties as owner and had come to us a couple of years ago and said, when I decide to step down, I'd like to turn everything over to you all because you all are here and you're continuing and you have a great group of people who seem like they want to preserve this legacy. And so we are changing our name from Broadside Press to Broadside Lotus Press. We will assume all of the collection of Lotus Press as well, and so that might be another project down the road, hint, hint, mm-hmm. Knight Foundation.
Always got to
yeah.
look.
Absolutely, yeah. And so we're very excited to be a part of this merger process. Dr. Maggett has worked with us tirelessly. Like Dudley, she never took a cent for her work mm-hmm. and keeping these institutions going. And at this juncture, we are excited about being a part of this whole initiative. I don't know what can say enough. Dr. Maggett is Detroit's current poet laureate. Dudley was the first poet laureate in Detroit, and Dr. Magid is a highly acclaimed writer.
Aurora, you're a teacher, so you're the one to ask this. How encouraged are you by what you're seeing coming out of young Black poets today?
I'm encouraged. I think they speak about a lot of things that are pertinent in their lives. They're writing about things that happen in the news, things that happen within Black culture. A lot of the poets are very strong in keeping like a social political type of message in their poems, because some of the similar struggles that were going on in 1965 within Black culture are still going on now. So,
Aurora, would you leave us with a poem?
Sure.
Another one of your works? What are you going to read for us?
Well, we're heading into spring, so I'm going to read a winter poem that's sending winter out. Winter, body purer than a language, snow, a cold sea. Two sacred birds with black plumage lift up my eyes. In the air, an atom of sky, a celestial globe has their own light. It lives and falls. It lives and falls. It lives and falls. Winter.
That is Aurora Harris, Detroit-based poet, teacher, and activist. And she's joined by Chris Rutherford, who's chair of the board of directors of what is now Broadside Lotus Press, as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the founding of Broadside Press. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your love of the work of this remarkable man, Dudley Randall. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Support for arts and culture coverage on Stateside comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.